The day is beautiful to you too. So, happy Sabbath, everyone. How are things going? Good? This morning, I want to share with you related to the communion service. It's found in the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and the title of my message is, God be merciful to me. God be merciful to me. Let us pray. Lord, God be merciful to me, God. Be merciful to me. Help us understand what does that mean. May your spirit come to our heart now that we can grasp the meaning of this text. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Merciful. People have mercy on you? Well, I drove on 71 toward church, by the way, and I got pulled over by the policeman maybe a few months ago. I don't want to confess that, but you know, sometimes pastors make mistakes too, you know, just to let you know that. Pastor's not perfect. And so the police say, well, do you know how much, what is your mile you drive on your van there? And I say, I don't know. I didn't pay attention. Do you know you drove over 90? I said, no way, I never drive over 90. I said, why? Well, I don't think so. I'm rushed to church. Why you drive over so fast? Do you know it's dangerous to drive on the van with your whole family? Do you think you put your family in danger? Well, you know, the kid is yelling in the back. I wasn't paying attention. And I kept thinking about it. I've been making so much excuse that I broke the law. Did I break the law? But did I make excuse? How many of us that say, I've never sinned? I never make mistake. And so this happened to us day by day. It's so long that we forgot about it. And so much that we forgot about pray that for God to forgive our sin. Do you ever pray that God forgive your sin? Don't raise your hand now. The night when you go to bed and you pray, God, according to the sermon, maybe I have to pray forgive my sin. Because a lot of time I pray, God, can you pray for my school? I pray for my family. Pray for my health. Pray that I can get a new car. I pray that I have money to pay my rent. You pray everything for your personal life, your physical life, but you never think about your spiritual life. The word sin is foreign to us. I didn't do anything wrong. I never commit murder. I never steal from anyone. And so a lot of time we start to throw that idea out. And here's the message I want to share with you this morning about be merciful to me. Turn with me in the book of Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. And here's the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector. Here, I just want to have a claim right here. I just let you know tax collector is not to say all tax collector is a sinner, okay? I want to just make sure that. I hope that all the IRS people there, I'm not saying you guys are a sinner, okay? The terminology tax collector back then, they considered a bad people, a sinner. Okay, because why? They come to take money out of their own country, okay, from the Jews, and turn into the Roman, okay? And so they are bad, they are outcasts. So basically, tax collector back then is outcast. You don't be a friend with tax collector. You don't eat with tax collector. You don't sit at the same table with tax collector. And so let's understand the difference, okay? So we not say every accounting or do with tax is a sinner, okay? We just want to understand there's a people who follow God, and those people are outcast. Here's the story. Verse 9, also he spoke a parable who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. So as beginning this parable, that Jesus painted the picture here, there's a group of people who think they are righteous, and they look down, though are outcast. Okay? For example, We dress nice to church, and someone look not dressed nice to church, we say, whoa, whoa, that person is not dressed correctly, appropriately. Oh, I'm eat correctly, I'm sit correctly, I have a good job, not someone else who beg for food, okay? Or homeless. And so here Jesus tried to point out to who? To the church member, to the people who have been going to church for a long time. Maybe those people have born into the church. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple. How many people? Two. Two people go up to the temple. Two people go to church. Two people are righteous. And both of them go to the temple to do what? To pray. Okay? One is a Pharisee, and the other one is a tax collector and outcast. And so, these two people, two type of people, come to church. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And so now there's a private prayer. It's time for a silent prayer. That you kneel down, you think about yourself, you pray. And here the Pharisee have two minutes of silent prayer. This is what he said. God, thank you, and I thank you, that I am not like the other man. Not like other men. I came here so many times on a regular basis. Okay? Not like the other men, the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or even this tax collector, this one, that person. So in other words, I'm solemnly kneel down and pray. I dress to church, not like that one, not dress to church. I put money into the offering plate, not that one. Okay, so he's trying to point out the fault of other. So when you pray, what you pray what? You pray about yourself. Come to God, not to judge other. So I don't know this guy, whoever the Pharisee is, his eye open when he pray? Or maybe he look around, wow, that's what it is. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't or close your eyes when you pray. You can pray when you open your eyes, right? Could you? Yes, but mostly, close your eyes, look at yourself, be concentrated. Now, verse 12, I fast twice a week. How many people here fast twice a week? Probably not, not like the Pharisee, right? I give tithe of all that I possess. And the tax collector, okay, so that's point out. That, in other words, I give money to the church, I help the poor, I go to church, I fast. You know, when you say about fast, it's a very spiritual person. You know, I fast and pray. I meditate day and night. They do all that. Now, fasting is wrong or right? It's not done wrong fasting. How about giving offering, giving tithe? We should do all this. But the Pharisee doing this to do what? To boast themselves. Hey, I did all this. I come to church on time. Not son of you go to church not on time. I give all the tithe. I never miss one penny of my life, but some other did. And so here the Pharisee want to point out to God, you know what? I don't think I ever commit any sin. You know what? Verse 13 says, the tax collector, the outcast, the sinner, standing afar off, would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but to beat his heart, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here the Pharisee kneeled down and prayed, God, thank you. You protect me, and I'm able to do everything right. But somehow, in the middle of the corner of the church right there, this sinner, this outcast, pray very small, very timid. No one hear about it. But God can hear his heart. He not even look up to heaven. Now, should he look up to heaven? Should he look up to God? Well, I don't understand that until when I'm a parent. And so when my children did something wrong, I look straight in his eyes. Do you know what the children did? They look away, look down. Not me. No, not me. Don't look at me. You see? And so the sinner don't want to look up because he knows he's a sinner. He not dare to stand in the presence of a holy God. He's not worth to come to the church, but he coming anyway. There's no place to go. At least the church can take me in. But he found himself in the church. No one speak to him because he's dressed different. No one help him because he's different. And so here, he kneel down. He do not want to open his eyes, look in heaven, and say, God, I just don't want to see you because I'm so a sinner. I'm not worth to stay here. I'm not worth to pray to you. I'm not worth at all. Now, verse 14. I tell you, this man, this outcast, this tax collector, went down to his house and justified rather than the other. In other words, this, who is more justified? Who is more righteous, if I may say that? It's a tax collector. For everyone who exalts himself will be outbased, and those who humble himself will be exalted. So, I want you to think about this very text. And the subject I want to share with you about the idea about confession. Now, the Pharisee, did he confess his sin? Do you have any sin? I mean, it seemed like he did everything right, correctly. I mean, righteous. I mean, what can you confess? I'm sorry, maybe I confess that I go to church 1 minute late. Oh, I'm afraid I pay tithe, but I'm not doing exactly on time. When I receive a paycheck, I didn't put on time. I put the end of the day instead of beginning of the day. And so when you look at all this, you say, you know, really, I did nothing wrong. The Pharisees say, that is a sinner, and I'm not a sinner. And so the first point I want to share with you is some people maybe come to church and they don't see themselves a sinner. Okay? Is that right? That's what the Pharisees say. Well, the Bible tried to share it with this. Look with me in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, just like the Pharisee, maybe just like you and I today. If I ask you today, have you sinned today? Since the moment you wake up? Well, let me think. I haven't thought anything of yet. While this text tried to point us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Deceive who? Deceive us. The truth is not in us. So how many sin? How many people sin? In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, they say, all have sinned. Now, is the Pharisee be honest with himself that he have no sin? Or at least he say, I didn't do anything wrong. I think he's very honest with himself. We got to give him, you know, what he think. You know, if you pay tithe, if you go to church, you do everything right, you got to say, you do it right. But the thing is, the question is, why don't we see, if the Bible says we all have sinned, right? I have sinned, you have sinned, right? But how do I find my sin? Some of you prior to this, you know, I have sinned. I have not committed murder. I did not steal. I go to church. I obey my parents. What sin? Now, do we keep the Ten Commandments? That means, if we're able to keep the commandment, that doesn't mean we don't sin. If you're able to keep the Ten Commandments, that doesn't mean you don't sin. How many people think so? How many people, if you think if we keep all the Ten Commandments, let's say we can keep it, do we still sin? Yeah. You know, sometimes we limit ourselves to Ten Commandments. I just want just do enough to pass a test. Right? Enough to get the salary. My friend, when Jesus comes to the rich young ruler, say, you know, if you really want to be saved, sell all what you have and give to the poor. And so what I'm trying to share with you here, the longer you live into the church and your spiritual life growing, you got to go deeper. Deeper than the skin. You got to go deeper. Do you think God just want us to give 10% of our tithe? I don't think so. If that's the case, then I have to cross out the story about the rich young ruler. God asks us to give all. All. Now, it's all to you and to me. Maybe it's a little different, but God wants us to surrender everything. Okay, so the first point, we give you the first point here, that you need to find out your sin. Sounds strange. You got to beg God, God, can you tell me what I did wrong today? Pastor Vin said everyone has sinned, and I couldn't find one sin, not even one yesterday. And we have to plead to God, tell us, what do we sin? What have you did wrong? And this is really abnormal. But I'm telling you, this is the exercise that you and I need to go through. If you want to deeper in your faith, you got to go through this exercise. Exercise, that means, God, tell me. I want to live in perfect harmony with you. Tell me that I have come short to your standard. I have come short to your glory. Help me. If you're honest to pray that prayer, God will reveal to you. Because the Pharisee don't see it, because he come to God, say, God, I'm perfect. But we come to God, God, I'm a sinner. But I don't know what I did wrong. Help me. Help me. How can I walk close to you? And so, why I'm saying that to you? Because one point that Jesus said, you know, you have heard from the old that if you kill someone, you commit murder, right? You heard about that, right? But I say to you, if you hate someone, you already commit murder. You see, Jesus go deeper and deeper than the letter of the law. I hope you and I probably go deeper in understanding God's teaching. And so now, if you say, if I hate someone, anyone hate someone today? Well, we already commit murder. Did we borrow a razor from someone and forgot to return? That commits stealing, really. You understand? You got to go deeper and deeper. As you grow stronger, you're going to see that. And so, point number one, that you got to know what's your sin. Okay? Sometimes we don't know. We got to pray about it. Do you know why do we don't know that we are sinners? Because we do so often and no one have said anything that we did wrong. For example, the school have 100 pencils and I just only take one. That's not stealing. That's plenty. The teacher gonna throw away after the school year anyway. Just take one. You see, so we keep doing that, become a habit, and we don't see that as a sin. You understand what I'm talking about? And so we live so long that we don't feel there's sin, and that's why we got to pause and think about it and see if that is sin or not. Now, we're going to go a little deeper. Now, how do you know your sin? You have to pray about it. To be honest, if you think deep enough, you know it. Okay? You know it. God's character is only one thing, is love. If everything different from love, if that's sin. For example, if I don't love that other person, that's sin. Sin is what? Against God's character. God wants to eat with the homeless. And if I could not sit and eat with the homeless, that means I said, you are outcast. I don't want to be with you. You understand what I'm talking about? And so we are really far, far, far from what's God's position of love. And so that's why we pray about it. Now go back to the Garden of Eden. Did Adam sin? But he recognized he's a sinner or no? No. Right? Adam, what do you do? Well, you give me that woman, you know, that called Eve. She make me. And so he put a blame on who? On his wife. But actually, he put a blame on who? On God. God, you know, you're the one who created that woman. And so God said, God told to Eve, Eve, why do you sin? Well, do you know who created the serpent? Tell me, God, who created the serpent? Well, now Eve put a blame on God. So in other words, now once you find that you're a sinner, but you don't accept your sin, you will not never be forgiven. Now let's turn to the book of Psalm. The book of maybe Proverb. Maybe I do the first text, and we go Psalm later. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper. How many people want to be prosper? You want to make a lot of money? You want to have a beautiful home? You want to have a car? Yes. Well, if we cover our sin, we won't have any of that. You want a car? Well, come on, tell me your sin. But whosoever confess and forsake them will have mercy. So when you confess your sin, you will have love. You know, if my children come and say, oh, I did something wrong, I love them. I say, really? Okay. Your sin forgiven. But I say, well, I don't want to tell it. He keep hiding, right? If you cover your sin, you will never have peace. And so point number two is this. You pray. No, number one, you pray that God show me, help me. If I don't pray, that means I'm just like a Pharisee that I don't see I've sinned. Number two, Lord, once I know my sin, help me not to hide, to keep to myself, to present to you. Okay? And so God asks us to present. Okay, and so 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, remember verse 8? We're talking about verse 9 now. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Right? God, please forgive my sin. I just upset with my son. I scroll him this morning. Please forgive my sin. And, underline the word and. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means I'm perfect. He not only cleaned one of my sin, he cleaned all the sin I committed. You understand? When you confess your sin, last time I make sure that all my sin confessed before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, forgive my sin and all the sin that I commit that I don't know. Just make sure that all the sin is forgiven before I go to sleep. And so in other words, God will love anxious for you to confess so he can forgive all your sin. Now, what does confess mean? What does confess mean? Two things. Confession without repentance and conversion is not confession. Now, Adam and Eve did not repent. Repent what? That means I don't want to do that again. You accept. You did some wrong. So when the policeman stopped me, all I have to say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. Can you give me the citation? That's me accepting it. I pay the penalty. But if I'm asked that, he give me the citation anyway. I did not ask for it. And I turn around, I go to the court to appeal. On that day, you know, I really something wrong. Matter of fact, I went back to the road. I did not see any sign for a mile to say speed limit 65. I did not see it. I go for 5-6 miles. I did not see it. I tell you, you forgot to put the sign on the road. That means I should not be penalized for that. And the judge pointed me to the book. Have you read the DMV book, like 900 page? And say, you know, if there's no sign on freeway, automatically it's 65 miles per hour, right? And some of you read it? No? Okay. Well, just let you know, that's what it is, okay? So the thing is this here, I did not accept my sin. I did not repent. I want to get out of it. Adam and Eve want to get out of this because of your fault, and so you shouldn't penalize me. If you wouldn't put the serpent and the tree of good and, knowledge, whatever, I don't put it there, I would have sinned. And so you see, the first thing that we need to understand, that we need to know our sin, and then the thing is, we need to repent. Confession is what? To repent, that means I accept it, and I don't want to do it again. Conversion is you want to change. You want to change. The purpose I have to go to traffic school is because, it's not because that I can get the point off so the insurer won't see it, but I want to go to traffic school so I can change my habit of driving. You understand? I hope you guys go to traffic school for a root reason, right? Graduate school is helping you to change the habit, not because you don't want to pay more on your insurance. So confession is really, you got to repent and willing to be converted. Why I'm sharing this with you? Because when I started thinking about this, I started to see every step I take that I commit sin. But years ago, I don't pray for it. I pray for you. I pray for you. I mean, I'm not praying you, okay? I pray for you, you. That's why I pray. Forgive that sin. Forgive the sin. And I forgot to look at me. And when I read this text, and you know what? How come? How come, God, you say, oh, I have sinned. And how come I don't search for myself? And if you go really deep into the text and go to the book of Psalm, okay? And Psalm, I love this text so much. Psalm 139 is my favorite text when I come to confession. I commit this in memory in Vietnamese, by the way. Psalm 139, verse, the last two verses. Search me, O God. This is what David said. You know, David committed murder. David committed adultery. And he said, search me, O God, and know my heart every day. And try me and know my anxiety. That means know me. Know my heart. Know my what I'm doing, what my thought. Know everything. And see if you do see any wicked way in me. And I know there's a lot of wicked way in me. I say that to God. Lead me into the everlasting life. And so another way, every day, God, help me. Help me. I don't want to be that Pharisee. I want to know that I'm a sinner. I'm just like that tax collector. I'm not worth to look at you because I'm a sinner. You see, that tax collector, he wanted to change. He wanted to be better. He wants something. And he can see that God's mercy upon them. God reached out his hand and said, love him. Son, come. All your sins are forgiven. Every one of them is forgiven. Psalm 34, verse 18. While David maybe prayed this prayer, and you and I maybe try to imitate this prayer. Psalm 31, verse 34 is 18. In our prayer, what's it like? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Do you know when you come back to God, you have a broken heart? I mean, when I left the church, I'm in the world, am I coming back after evangelistic meeting? I don't know what happened. I knew down midnight. I remember that day, I just poured my heart out and I just cried like a baby. And when I read the text, I said, you know, the Lord so near, come to near to me when I was my heart's broken and save such as a contrite spirit. Do you have a prayer like that? That you cry out to God. God, you know, I commit this sin, and I don't just tell anyone. Not even my parent, my children, and my wife and husband, whatever it is. I feel so low. Sometimes you just feel so low, I say, you know. I just feel there's nothing left. You're not worth it, anything. Some people feel so low that they say, you know what? I'd rather kill myself than see anyone. People don't want to see their sin. I don't want anyone to know. But we are different. But when we pray, when our heart broke before the altar of God, God see that you and said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. You know what Paul did exactly just like that. Go with me, book of Acts. Go be with me, book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 10 and 11. This Paul, he not a boast about his sin. He want to point out what he did wrong. This I so did in Jerusalem, and many of the saying I shut up in prison have received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He excited to see the Christian to be persecuted. He wanted to tell, you know, this is what I did. I did all that. Verse 11, I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme and been exceedingly enraged against them and persecuted them even to foreign city. That means he cast those people out. He go every city. He tried to persecute every single Christian. Every one of them. And so what happened? This is what he said in Timothy at the end of his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The very last thing. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And who are the sinner? Paul said this, I'm the chief sinner. No one did any sin greater than I am. No one. And so he tried to point out that I'm a worse sinner and God saved me. The degree of the offenses, that means something you did wrong, determine the degree of apology. In other words, the stronger, the deeper, the worse sinner you are, the more that you want to confess your sin. Just think about the woman who break out the jars of perfume and try to anoint Jesus. Other people don't see the expensive perfume to anoint Jesus. They say, you know, that's just too expensive to wash someone else's feet. Water to wash feet is enough. You know, you want to get perfume to wash the feet? She go out and extend because, Jesus, you forgive all my sin. Everything I have, I want to wash your feet. Instead of give up a towel to clean the feet, he shoes her hair. Can you imagine? If you really see a sinner, you're gonna really bow down to Jesus to ask for forgiveness. But if you don't see yourself a sinner, or maybe not that sin, then you just only do a little bit. Jesus, forgive me. Thank you. Bye-bye. And so when I look deep in my life, I say, you know, just like Paul, I'm a deep sinner. I'm a chief sinner. That's it. That's how I am. And God come here to save me. If someone break all 10 commandments, and I only break only half a commandment, I'm still the same sinner. I'm a nobody. I'm a outcast, just like everyone. And so if you and I confess our sin, come back to God, he will lift you up. But if we say that, you know, my sin is not that bad, I don't need to confess, then we just have to live what we have, and God will not save us. And that's what my concern. Do I want to be saved or not? Or you think, I'm already saved. I don't need help. You know, that's what Paul going through, and I want to have that same experience. Not just become a great preacher or everyone know you about it, but that I can see myself that I'm a chief sinner. I just want to pray just like Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the sanctuary of God, which is holy, right? I mean, you know what is holy. When you see something is so beautiful, amazing, that you just don't want to touch. You don't want to touch your dirty hand upon something. Something is so holy. Just that when you go and walk into the temple, that you just have to take off your shoe. And the Pharisee, you got to wash yourself 7 times before you walk to the temple. That's mean holy. And so I want to walk into God's temple just like Isaiah. When he saw the temple of God open, he said to himself, I'm a sinner. I live among all the sinner. You know, it's dawned on me and said, you know, yeah, the whole Israel is sinner. They left God, but Isaiah never left God. But he counted himself a sinner as much as the Israelite. You understand? I'm a sinner as much as someone just committed adultery or someone just committed murder. And that's what Isaiah have taught me that. And my friend, it's only that we really understand God's mercy. It's only that we love Jesus more and more. Sometimes I feel like I just love Jesus only skin deep. I want to experience that love. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I want to experience that. I don't want to come to the communion table that I just see, oh, this is what we do every 3 months. No. I want to see Jesus again. Because when I see Jesus, I can see deep myself, I'm a great sinner. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. My friend, I just want you to grow as you grow stronger and stronger in your spiritual life. Do not just step in one spare place. Do not go to church for many years and we stay in the same place because it's so dry. Just like the Pharisees, so dry. I do all this. I don't see anything more than this. Do you want that? I don't want that. I want to have a richer experience every day. I want to grow deeper and deeper until Paul experienced Jesus Christ for himself. So I ask you guys to think about it. To reach out to Jesus tonight, ask God, I want to grow. Help me to see it. I want to confess my sin. Is there something that I did wrong? Is something that I did not do? Is something that I did not witness to someone? You brought someone to me, but I didn't do anything. You know, you brought someone to me that I can witness, but I didn't do anything. You brought someone to me that just only asked a dollar and I don't give. I mean, all that, if you can think about it, God wants to reach out to us every single day, every single minute. And sometimes we come to the Lord just like mundane thing that everything's the same. My friend, God wants to reach you more than ever before. God wants to touch you. The question, are you willing to be touched? Are you willing to be humble? Like the tax collector. He couldn't even start to describe all his sin. All he used to say, I'm a great sinner, please merciful on me. Just have mercy. I have so much, have mercy on me. And when I went through and continue going through this, I just want to share with you that I even go one step, I don't know if it's called deeper or not, but for me, as God, do not cast me out. Do not. Yes, I did all this, but still use me. Still to use my hand, use my lips. Be with me. Do not take it away. I can think about David, and I end with this story. David come back to God, and he cried out to God, cried out so hard that even his wife said, you are crazy. You're lying on the floor, rolling the dirt. But David said, I don't care, woman, what you say. I'm so grateful that I can meditate with God in the dirt. And he said, I want to build you a temple. Everyone have a beautiful home. You have a beautiful home. I have a beautiful home. But God did not have a beautiful home. I want to build a temple for you. And you know what God said? I love your thought, but you know, your hand is full of blood. I can reserve that to your son Solomon to build the temple. I mean, when I read this story, I thought about it. It just broke my heart that David probably cried out, I want to build the temple, and you don't want me to. You understand what I'm talking about? You just want to do it, but God reserved it for someone else. And so I ask God, God, do not take me away. Let me continue to serve you. You can take all my family, all my home, all my possession, but do not take away from me that I continue to serve you. Do not, I beg you. You see, you know what I'm talking about? And that's my journey. And I hope you experience some journey like that, that you find some sweetness to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. Jesus stand on the door and knock. And sometimes we don't see it. We just don't see it. I ask if God allow you and I to have that experience. Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, we know of you. We know of the church and we come here. But sometimes we're so dry. We just don't feel your presence. I just plead with you right now to bless this church. Bless every single man and woman today. That they want to have that experience with Jesus. They want to have experience their first love. And sometimes we just forgot about it. Help us to go back in the basic step. That just reach out to you, to see ourselves as a sinner, a worse sinner, and cry out to God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy. Lord, embrace this church into your bosom. Protect everyone. And help us to grow and strengthen and grow strong every day and strengthen our spiritual life every day, that we will be a strong man and woman for you, to be a leader, to be a witness, to be a leader in the family, in the community. Lord, we want to do something. But first, Lord, we want to come to you with humble spirit to ask you to forgive our sin. Forgive all of our sin that we're able to stand in your holy ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.